everybody. Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food on April 29th, 2014. Gosh, last week was my birthday, and now it's not. But I had a great week. A lot of great food, a lot of great vegan cake, of course. And now we just, it's just every ordinary day for me, and that's good. But let's make it special, okay? We're going to be talking to some wonderful people today who've got some great messages to share. Right now, I want to bring on my first guest. Dr. Karen Davis is the president and founder of United Poultry Concerns, a nonprofit organization that addresses the treatment of domestic fowl in food production, science, education, entertainment, and human companionship situations. Welcome to It's All About Food, Karen.
Hi, Karen. I'm delighted to be on your show today to talk about chickens and other domesticated fowl and go vegan.
Right on. So I was at the Veggie Pride Parade in Manhattan last month, and several times I chased you around just to give you a hug and tell you that you're wonderful, but I didn't get a chance to do that, so I'm sorry.
That's okay. There were a lot of people there, which was good.
It was. It was just freezing.
Yeah, but still, there were a lot of people, and I was very impressed by the fact that so many people sat in the fold-out chairs to the speakers, despite the fact that it was cold and damp and even began to drizzle, but that's encouraging to me.
That was a really good point, and I don't remember that many people. You've been coming year after year, as I have, and that was an excellent crowd, and it was a horrifically wet, chilling day. Yeah, good point. Well, I'm glad people wanted to listen, and there are more people opening up, lifting the veil, discovering what isn't so nice going on, and we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. So your organization has a special day, International Respect for Chickens Day. Let's talk about that.
Okay, sure. Well, I started International Respect for Chickens Day May 4th, and expanded to the entire month of May in 2005. And that grew out of a radio show where a radio host kind of made fun of the idea of Mother's Day being a respect for Mother Chicken's Day. Mm. And so he was kind of friendly, but a little bit sarcastic. But anyway, I wrote to him and invited our members to write to him very respectfully, but to bring out the fact that mother hens are, in fact, paragons of the best nurturing, most protective motherhood, and that we often hear mother hens rightly being invoked as exemplars of the best and caring kind of motherhood. So the radio host actually ended up agreeing with us.
Yee-hoo!
And said, well, maybe we should create an annual Respect for Chickens Day. And I thought, yeah, that is a great idea. And United Poultry Concerns is going to do exactly that. So starting in May of 2005, we established International Respect for Chickens Day to celebrate chickens throughout the world and to protest the bleakness and the sadness of their lives in farming operations. And we invite people to do an action for chickens on or around May 4th, and we capitalize the word action. We suggest that people find a way to fit speaking for chickens, doing something positive for chickens in the course of their busy day, or setting aside a day to do something for chickens, meanwhile urging that everybody make every day Respect for Chickens Day. But to choose a day, this year it's Sunday, May 4th, thereabouts, to do such things as leaflet on a busy street corner, hold an office party or a classroom celebration, write a letter to the editor of their local newspaper, or do a radio call-in. We urge people to consider tabling at their local church or their school or shopping mall, to host a vegan open house in their neighborhood, or simply to talk to family, friends, or even complete strangers about the plight and delight of chickens and how people can help them. So that's really what International Respect for Chickens Day is all about, to really focus on what chickens go through in that terrible conditions they're living in at this very second in food production operations, and to draw people's attention to the fact that chickens are so sweet and so friendly and cheerful when they're not being abused, when they're out and about in a yard and being treated with kindness and respect. So it's those two aspects of chickenhood that we seek to draw attention to, the suffering that they endure when humans mistreat them, and the cheer that they exude when they are happy and being treated with respect and being able to be out and about in the outdoors.
Karen, humans have a long way to go in terms of treating other beings with respect. Humans have a problem treating other humans with respect. And mammals are next in line, and fowl are perceived to be so far from many people's concern, which is really unfortunate. And we have so much to learn from so many animals out there. I am always amazed to find out the intelligence that every species has. And because we don't have it, one type of intelligence or ability, we don't appreciate it or know how to appreciate it.
Now, well, you know, we tell people that, and I tell people that, you know, we share so much with the other animals on the planet. And the more we learn about birds and water creatures and mammals, even increasingly about insects, we're learning that there is a community of sentient life, which we share, mm-hmm. whereby we have our own special abilities as different species and even as individuals, but there is so much we share in our perception of the world, our care for our families, our desire not to suffer pain and abuse, and to find joy in life. And increasingly, science is showing conclusively that chickens and other birds are as intelligent as mammals, that is, not just in the strictly and exclusively cerebral sense, although that is certainly part of it, but in their whole mental repertoire, including their emotions, their sensibilities, and their cognitive ability to negotiate complex environments, to live extremely successfully in social groups. So I see that we do have a long way to go, but I'm also seeing that we are coming a long way in changing our attitudes towards other species, including birds, and that science is showing not that these birds and other animals are less than we thought, but that they are, oh, so much more than mainstream conventional thinking had thought.
You were mentioning earlier about Mother's Day and about how hens are such a great example of what mothers should be. Can you give some examples of what some hens have done that have just been amazing as mothers?
Well, yes. One important thing they do is they defend their young, and it's kind of interesting that chickens are often called cowards when, in fact, both roosters and hens are the very opposite of cowards, especially when they are parents. They, both hens and roosters guard the eggs with the embryos inside. Mother hen will very carefully pick off any shell debris that is still sticking to her chicks as they are struggling out of the egg, which, of course, chickens who are being born in the huge mechanical incubators in the food industry never get to experience that loving care and helping them to emerge successfully from their shells. A mother hen, like a rooster, will fight to the death if need be if a predator is attempting to harm either the eggs or the newly hatched chicks. Mother hens are excellent guardians of their birds, and I once had a situation here at our sanctuary in Virginia where there was a mother hen. Now, what happened was we do not allow our hens to hatch eggs at our sanctuary. We gather the eggs, and we hard-boil them and feed them back to our chickens. But in one particular case, a hen jumped the 8-foot fence, disappeared, and then returned with a little group of chicks. This was a few years ago. Yeah, we thought we didn't know what had happened to her, but she was gone, and then suddenly she appeared with this little family. So one day I was sitting at the computer here looking out the window, and my computer helper was upstairs working at the computer, and she had brought her large, very, very passive and well-behaved black Labrador to stay outside in the yard while she worked upstairs. Well, so suddenly I heard all this commotion going on. This hen was just yelling and yelling at this Labrador. And so I walked outside. This was under a great big magnolia tree in the front yard. And so here's the hen. Her name was Eva. And she was just flying and flying and flying at this black Labrador, who was kind of standing there bewildered. He really wasn't doing anything, but she perceived him as a threat. And she had hidden all of her baby chicks behind her under the magnolia tree. So she was ready to fight to the death if need be. Of course, she didn't need to, because this particular dog just kind of stood there, as I say, in a bewildered state of mind. But she kept it up for a long time. But at the same time, anytime I would come near her and her chicks in the front yard, she was totally comfortable with that. She made a very clear distinction between the dog, who a chicken would rightly fear, even though many dogs are very benign toward chickens. But she was rightly afraid of this dog. But at the same time, she knew me and knew that I would never hurt her or her chicks. And she was quite comfortable letting me get close. But, you know, they've done a lot of experiments now with chickens, demonstrating that chickens possess empathy as well as sensitivity and so forth. And, for example, they've scientists have done experiments showing that if they feed hens, I'm not saying I approve of this type of experimentation, I'm just relaying it to your listeners. If they feed a hen certain colored food that is unpleasant tasting or possibly even somewhat toxic versus a plate of hen, food that is not that color, a different color, and is just healthy and not toxic or bad tasting, they have found that the hen will immediately learn the difference between the two foods. But more importantly, she will teach her chicks to avoid the food that is the bad colored food that is the bad tasting food. So she is able to learn and transmit to her young what she has learned in order to protect them from bad or even fatal experiences. So that's
we could use a little of that, I think, with our food experiences.
I mean, that's just one of many examples. I'm living with chickens all the time. I've kept chickens, rescued chickens, since 1985 when I took in our first chicken named Viva the Chicken Hen, whose story is right on our homepage on our website. And I see hens comforting each other. Sometimes a hen will actually straddle another hen and have her wings down over the body of the other hen when the other hen isn't feeling good. And when I see a situation like that, I know that the hen who's being straddled is not feeling good and that she's being comforted by the hen who's has her wings over her. And it's very touching, too, when the hens and roosters line up together at night on their perching platforms, how often a rooster will actually have his wings spread around the hen on either hens on either hot side of him. So there is so much affection and communication amongst chickens all the time going on. And increasingly, it is now recognized that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see
that's
this.
Right.
You just live with them. You know, it's pretty obvious within about a day. But the fact is, you know, since we live in a society that wants to hear what science says before people make up their minds about anything, well, science says what those of us who have been running sanctuaries and living with chickens for years and now even decades have seen every day, which is that chickens are very, very socially sophisticated. They're very affectionate with one another. Now, that doesn't mean they don't get into arguments. That doesn't mean that even the hens will get into little tiffs where their hackle feathers will be all raised and they'll jump over each other like two little bantam roosters, you know? And I never get involved in that because I know that that's they have a right to express the full repertoire of their nature as much as possible without me always jumping in. And eventually they have their little to-do, whatever their issues may be with each other, and then it dissipates and they end up doing other things. But I see the same thing with roosters. You know, roosters will get into, they'll have face-offs and they'll have showdowns, but very, very rarely does it ever degenerate into a serious fight, especially if you've got two healthy, normal-aged roosters of 2 or 3 or 4 years old. They're not looking to fight. You know, they're looking to be with their hens and find food and sunbathe and dust bathe and forage because, you know, chickens are great foragers. They spend a great deal of their day digging in the dirt. They're looking for food. They like to explore. They find micronutrients in the soil. And so chickens are busy all day. They're busy finding food and exploring around the yard or in the wooded areas here at our sanctuary. And then in the around noontime, they kind of take a siesta, actually a siesta. You know, they lie in the sun. They sunbathe and dust bathe. When dust bathing is how they clean their skin and their feathers. And then in the late afternoon, they spread out again and they forage for another hour or so before they start going in for the night at dusk. And so they have a rhythm of their day. They have a pattern of their day that they pretty much follow every day. And again, they're not fighting. They're just living their lives as zestfully and vigorously and cheerfully as they can.
They have a little expertise in conflict resolution, maybe.
Oh, they do. They do.
Now, you're describing a handful of birds, because most chickens today do not live like this.
No, they don't.
So I don't like to focus too much on all of that, but let's just, for the chickens, acknowledge some of the horrors that they're going through right now.
Well, first of all, everybody should know that when we hear that, for example, in the United States, about 10 billion animals are being slaughtered for food every year.
Mm-hmm.
We should keep in mind that at least 9 billion of those birds are chickens. Now, many millions die before they ever get to the slaughterhouse of all kinds of undiagnosed diseases. So they're dying all the time. But chickens bred and raised for the meat industry represent the largest number of land animals being raised and slaughtered for food. So it's chickens more than any other birds in terms of numbers. And then secondly, I should point out that we live in one of the largest chicken-producing areas of the country known as the Delmarva Peninsula, comprising all of Delaware and the eastern shore of Virginia and Maryland, and we're on the eastern shore of Virginia, where at any given time, 500 million chickens are living in dark, sunless, filthy 500-foot-long buildings, so that if you drove around the main highway going up and down the peninsula here, it's only 150 miles long and 50 miles across. So this is a very, very tiny land area. But there are many, many more chickens on this land area, many more than all the human beings on it.
Wow.
Probably than all the human beings in Delaware and Virginia.
It's not comprehensible.
These birds, it's indescribable unless somebody's actually been in one of these houses because, first of all, as I said, the birds are kept virtually in the dark. They don't want the birds to move. They want them to just sit there and become a huge piece of breast muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
They feed them a horrible diet. They even give them things to make them these poor baby chickens feel empty when they're really full so that they'll keep eating and eating. All they want them to do is turn into a pile of meat. The majority of these birds are in very painful, crippled conditions where they either cannot walk at all or can barely walk by the time they go to slaughter. They're forced to grow many, many times faster than a normal chicken, and they are forced to grow many times larger than a normal chicken because you take a normal chicken who would barely weigh a pound and be very, very small at about a month old. And these chickens are already like 4 pounds, basically gaining about a pound a month. So the burden on their whole body, on their skeletal system, on their heart, their lungs, their muscles, everything is just horrendous. And the cruelty is all inside of them. I don't think we can even begin to imagine how miserable they must feel, how nauseated they must be all the time with what is happening inside their bodies, these alien bodies that have been inflicted upon them just so they'll turn into a pile of meat. And then living in an environment that is all filth, is all disease organisms, microorganisms.
I mean, they must be insane or crazy.
Well, they're just, see, it's so sad when you go into one of these chicken houses because, again, even people who haven't been around chickens have a picture, an ancestral picture or whatever you want to call it, of baby chicks running all over the place. They're full of energy. They are just little bundles of energy. Whereas these chickens who are exactly that same age are just sitting there like lumps of dough. They're huge. They're like small turkeys. They're just sitting there in the dark. It's all a sepia-colored, beige sort of environment, which is also horrible to think about because chickens have excellent full-color spectrum vision. They see infrared light. They see ultraviolet light. They have better eyesight than we do. And when you think about the cruelty of depriving creatures of sunlight, of any natural light, of any fresh air, and of any color, when their whole being is designed, because they come from the tropical forests of Southeast Asia, which is just vibrant with colors, and there they are just sitting there
beige.
In this beige environment, and literally that beige is mainly excrement in its various forms. So it's an indescribably brutal, cruel, and unforgivable life that is being inflicted on these baby birds, all for a product that nobody needs to eat and that everybody would be much better off not having anything to do with.
I'm in this because I don't believe in killing animals. I don't believe in causing pain and suffering, period. But we're always looking for different ways to touch people and get them to come over to our side and pay attention and realize what's going on and soft cells or whatever we can do. But you mentioned something about how they feed the chicks so that they feel like they have an empty stomach and they gain weight and they do all these things to make the chickens grow faster. How is that impacting humans who eat these animals?
Well, you know, again, so much is done, I guess.
Are we getting fatter because we're eating these?
Yeah, well, there are several things. First of all, the chickens are given all kinds of things that aren't even disclosed. So a lot of it is just you can't even find out all the information. But for example, we know that these chickens are given, and turkeys too, are given massive amounts of antibiotics. Antibiotics have a tendency to increase the amount of water in the cells of the body, and also disrupt the microflora in the intestinal tract, which has an effect of increasing the growth rate of the birds. And this was actually discovered about, 50 years ago, when a pharmaceutical company in out north of New York City was throwing antibiotic residue into a river there, and they discovered that all these fish were growing to this enormous size. So various efforts were made to distinguish what particular element or item could be causing this, and it was finally discovered that this particular antibiotic was the reason. Well, immediately the poultry industry jumped on this. They saw an opportunity to cause their birds, chickens and turkeys, to grow at an even faster rate to a larger size. So antibiotics are used extensively by the poultry industry, and it has been recently discussed by scientists, and it was on NPR a few weeks ago, that it's quite possible that antibiotics are not only causing antibiotic resistance in bacteria that cause people who become sick from, well, say, salmonella from eating chicken, no longer respond to the antibiotics because the bacteria have managed to mutate and surmount the effort to kill them so that they are no longer susceptible to the antibiotics. So we're looking at a situation where people are getting sick from eating chickens because chicken and turkey products have been identified by the Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as the number one cause of foodborne poisoning in the kitchen and by extension in the restaurant kitchen as well. So you've got people getting sick. In February, the Consumers Report issued its latest study. I think they purchased at random 300 chicken breasts, including organic chicken breasts, and analyzed them for salmonella, and 97% were covered with salmonella.
Ah!
And so what we're looking at is we're looking at a disease-covered product, which is not surprising because the chickens are living in cesspools long before they even get to the filthy slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at the fact that in addition to antibiotics being given in such heavy doses to these birds, the antibiotics maybe won't even treat the foodborne diseases that people get from handling and eating the birds. And in addition, maybe people's weight is climbing up not only because they eat too much of the wrong kinds of things, but also because they may be having a secondary effect from eating the antibiotics that they eat when they consume chicken products.
Karen, I've known about these things for decades, and no matter how many times I see a video or read an article, it's still unbelievable that these things go on and that people can do these things, but they do them for profit. And I'm really encouraged by some companies that have come along. There have been lots of companies out there making vegetarian products, but the ones that are making some big headway, like Beyond Meat and Beyond Eggs, are looking to use plant foods to create these animal products, meat and eggs, in order to take the animal out of the equation and make the same product for less money.
Well, there's no question that we're seeing a big jump in interest in this society. In meat-free meat, if you will, what I call animal-free food, vegan animal-free food, and what Ethan Brown, the co-CEO of Beyond Meat, I think he calls it animal-free meat, by which he means that they are assembling all of the elements that are found in animal flesh, in animal muscle tissue, in a purely plant-based composition, so that this composition has the texture of animal flesh while being strictly plant-based. They're getting all of the different nutrients, protein, and other things, and they're combining them in such a way that they are saying they kind of literally have an animal-free meat, because the plant-based meat is assembled just like animal flesh, but it's not animal flesh. It all derives from peas. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, pea protein. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's genius. And, you know, unfortunately, money talks, and if industrial food, at the very least, can replace their animal materials with plant materials and charge and have it be cheaper, I'm all for that. And most people don't know what's in their food. They don't care what's in their food. I would like to believe that there's a growing group that want to become more aware of what's in their food and don't like how animals are being treated. But I really think the bottom line is money, and that's where we're going to see some big headway. But, Karen, we just have, like, seconds left, so I wanted to thank you for joining me, and can we direct people to your website for International Respect for Chickens Day and all the other great information?
All, yes, absolutely. First of all, our website address is www.upc, that's for United Poultry Concerns, so it's upc-online.org, www.upc-online.org. And when people go to our website, they will see right front and center a beautiful image of a hen with a great big baby chick under her wing, whom she's fostering, who came straight out of a Purdue farm in North Carolina, and they click that image on, and they will have all of the information they need on our International Respect for Chickens Day website, including the bus ads that we're running in San Francisco and in Washington, D.C., things they can do. Everything is right there at upc-online.org. And, of course, if they go down, just scroll down a little bit. There's lots of information, tons of information on our website, but they can also go straight to our Facebook page where the little icon is located. And they can, we have like Life Can Be Beautiful, Go Vegan, an entire booklet that people can read right on our homepage, as well as if they want to learn more about the free range poultry and eggs scam, they can click that on right on our homepage and they can scroll through that brochure and all of our literature that's on our homepage and elsewhere on our website and on our Facebook page is also available in print form. So people have, you know, people have many ways of reading our literature, getting hold of our literature, and the important thing is to go vegan and get others to join us, to learn about chickens and turkeys and all these other animals, and then go out and teach others and inspire others to want to go vegan, to go beyond meat, and to throw these parties and show people, because now, for example, Ethan Brown of Beyond Meat, he's been on, you know, national TV shows, the Today Show and elsewhere, and he's holding contests where people can't even tell the difference between the real chicken breast and the Beyond Meat chicken, or they like the Beyond Meat chicken better.
Right, that's what I love.
Yeah.
Karen, it's very, very exciting, very encouraging, and thank you for doing decades of very important work. Keep going, and thank you for joining me today on It's All About Food.
Okay, well, thank you, Karen. Stick up for chickens, everybody. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm Karen Hartgless. You're listening to It's All About Food. Let's take a very quick break, and then let's start talking about paleo vegan, shall we? Okay, we'll be right back.